going to the hurry-up offense.
Hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program, presented as always by McDonald's, and now the iconic Big Mac, available in three juicy, cheesy sizes, the Big Mac Jr., the original Big Mac, and the Grand Mac. It's available for a limited time at participating McDonald's, chock full of talent here in Studio 66. Matt Money Smith, Handsome
Jr.,
Hank,
Big
Matt
Mac,
Harmon,
and the Grand Mac.
The Grand Mac, the Mac Daddy.
Hey, you're the one with the high hair, man. Come on. I think it's got to be the Grand
fat.
Mac.
We'll say proper.
Was that a fat joke?
Not at all.
We'll say, yeah.
Dave's the side of fries because he goes with everything.
Yeah. That's nice.
There you go.
See, that's I like the way we're starting it out here. Forgive my sickly voice.
Are you okay, Dave?
I caught a cold, Handsome.
Right.
Yeah. I caught a cold, though.
Probably on a plane.
Maybe.
That's a plane. You know, the plane is just a tube full of germs.
Yeah. I also, in honor of Super Bowl 51, gained 51 pounds while we were in Texas. Thanks.
Oh, way to honor the number.
Thanks. Thanks to the various meats and such that we consumed over
there.
That's
right, we did.
Money, Handsome, and I ate well.
And not to mention the wine, you jerks.
Yeah.
That wine was delicious, though. I'm sorry.
Was it really worth that much?
Yes, it was.
Really?
Yes.
I did not think it was.
Really? I didn't.
I thought it was good.
I didn't notice the price tab on the.
Don't you remember? I had to pull the Swayze on the way out.
That's because I picked it. I didn't tell you guys.
Why did you pick a spendy wine? As if we're all.
It's not like we can't say how much it
was. You guys are both big time celebrities.
Yeah,
I actually thought at the end
three of us.
Us
three idiots went out and spent $250 on wine at dinner.
But didn't you think that after a year of doing Dave's podcast, maybe he'd be buying dinner?
Yeah, I did.
On one hand,
should I leave during this part?
Sorry.
Exclusive.
We're working things out on air.
All right.
I don't turn my nose up at Let's Eat Well tonight. You know, I'll throw them. But none of us are sommeliers, is the other side.
Well, there was a sommelier there. We didn't need it. We didn't need to be.
I know, but you think Money and I are sort of like, this won't do.
And guess what he saw? You ever watch the Tom and Jerry cartoons?
Ding, ding.
Yeah, your head just turned into a giant lollipop right there. And he's like, oh, I've got just the one.
Yeah, the Houstonian sommelier was like, I got one on the hook. I got me an Englishman on the hook.
We also got into a slight political altercation with him as well.
I wouldn't say altercation.
Not an altercation, but it was.
We invited him into our conversation.
Right. And he was only
and he responded.
He was only too
football
happy
season.
Respect you.
That was
he
during.
He didn't respect me.
We'll say proper hellos to everybody in just a minute here. Right now, though, football season, as you may have heard, is in the books. At least the 2016 season is. Before we turn our gaze forward to combine, get that
Stick
charge
with that.
Going
not today.
Again.
Not today.
Not today. But it is properly pronounced. It shouldn't be called the combine.
There we go.
It
should
be called
there
the combine. Go. All right. Anyway, we'll talk about that at a later date. But with football season now over, Harmon, I start with you. By the way, this is Matt Harmon's last show for a little while.
For a little bit.
Yeah, he's going to take the offseason to make his own hay. We'll talk about that in just a second here.
Neither of those people are Matt Harmon, right?
Harmon, I start with you. What are you going to watch on TV now that there's no football?
This is a subject I'm very passionate about, so I'm glad we're starting off with this. I've got a lot of shows to catch up on. I'd like to watch Atlanta, that FX show.
I've heard good things. It won an award of some sort, right? The Golden Globe?
It did. It also became quite the subject of memes, the crying Jordan, all of that, when Atlanta lost the Super Bowl. So that one I definitely want to catch up on. Deadwood from HBO is an old show that I've been meaning to binge
for a while.
I've
never watched that. Is that worth
it? It's fantastic.
Is it?
I've heard it's
really good. It is easily the most vulgarities per minute of any show I have ever watched.
I'm already in.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot. Right now I'm actually been watching Santa Clarita Diet on Netflix. It's just kind of a little stupid show to watch every now and again. Take 30 minutes off your life, you know?
Yeah. You know what? You like watching the comedies, Harmon, I'll tell you what. This season of Always Sunny in Philadelphia is among its finest, and that's saying quite
a
bit.
Sure is.
Seen
that
a few
show's
them.
Been funny
good.
from the word go. And it's remarkable that at this point in that series run that it is still so funny and so clever and innovative in the way they're telling stories episode for episode. Handsome, how say you?
Dave, I started watching actually since I got back from the Super Bowl one that I'd had kind of in the back of my head, one called Taboo. It's on FX.
I saw
and
Taboo.
I saw the first couple of that.
It's what's his
Wait
name?
A minute. We now
Tom
have to
Hardy.
Taboo.
Listen, discussing the pronunciation of taboo is taboo.
Right. It's Tom
excellent.
Hardy. Yeah, who's an excellent actor.
Never heard
formerly
of him.
Bane.
Yes.
Who's in that. So that's a good one.
Now was not the time for Taboo.
Exactly.
Not bad.
And then the other one that I'm looking forward to, it's already aired back in the UK.
I was wondering what would break first, your spirit or your body.
Yes.
Thank you.
One of my all-time heroes, David Attenborough. I think, you know, one of the great
Sir
broadcasters.
David.
Sir
Thank
David
you.
Attenborough, one of the great broadcasters. Planet Earth, you might have seen his show.
Yes. Planet Earth 2.
We're still waiting for it. Is it here? It's coming.
BBC America, February 18th.
There we go.
And
yeah.
It's a great one.
I tried to order it, couldn't do it. Yeah. You know, we want everything immediately. As soon as I read that article, I was like, all right, where do I go?
Exactly.
Where do I get it?
And where can I stream this?
And I was waiting for it to come out. But that's one.
Great call.
Watch with the kids. Yes. I watch with my kids some of his other things. And
it terrifies them.
Well, it terrifies them, but it's like, whoa, that really happens out there somewhere in a jungle.
I marvel every time I watch those shows. How much, I mean, it's amazing that the proximity that they get to these ferocious beasts as they devour a gazelle or whatever. But also, how long do they have to sit there before it happens?
It is literally.
Are they out there for like 4.5 weeks before somebody comes along and eats somebody else?
You were talking about on Tuesday about how that Edelman catch, you could go try and recreate it 5,000 times outside and you'd never get there. I feel like that's what it's
exactly
like. It's like,
that's
we like. Need this great white shark to pop out of the sea here while headering a seal and whatever. And
also,
they'll wait for that to happen until it happens.
Also, what about the discipline it takes? If it were me and I'd been sitting out there for 4 months waiting for something to happen and then it finally started to happen, I'd be like, oh my God, like the camera would be shaking, like, I'm getting
oh my God,
this is working right. Oh my God, it's happening right now.
That's the cool thing actually about the show is that they do, after the, whatever, it's probably an hour long, they have like a 10-minute, the making of Planet Earth 2, and you actually get to see the guys who are like, I've been sitting in this wood now for 7 weeks waiting for a deer to
I love that
rare
show.
Deer, and finally it happened.
That they should kill two birds with one stone. And do they still do Naked and Afraid? They should have the Naked and Afraid people
hold the
camera.
While you're out there, bide your time with that. Right. Just shoot it nude.
Yep.
Yeah. Money. Yeah. How say you?
Let's see. There's a show that I really like that I've tried to turn people onto and nobody has taken the bait. It's called The Expanse. It's on Sci-Fi, and it is supposedly accurate, according to the fancy big brain physics scientists, astronomer folks out there, about what, in fact, life would be like were we to expand our livability to Mars, to the particular asteroid belt, and now there is a war for clean water. And they have perfected a method of extracting ice from asteroids, and then Mars and Earth bid against one another for that clean water, and thereby there is some sort of war going on in space over water. And it's fascinating.
Happen. It's
really
happen.
It's really good. It's well done, and this is the second season. It just started. It's on Sci-Fi. And then I do believe the best show on television, and I mean this sincerely. I'm not being a smartass here, is Teen Titans Go. It's a cartoon, and it is far and away the most cleverly written show, one that works on multiple levels. My children will consume it at face value, and the adults operate on that next level above it, and it is hilarious. And for no one for people that don't know what it is, imagine Robin, right? But Robin is, and I think I can say this, if not, just beep it out. I mean, Robin is the of all, and he is clowned by the other people that live in this apartment, and they just try to sort through everyday problems. And Robin tries to be their hero, and I will be your fearless leader, and all they do is clown him, and bad things happen to him over and over
again.
Teen
Titans. I know Teen Titans Go, too, and there are two versions of Teen Titans. There's one that's polished up for, like, teenagers, and then there's the one that skews more for kids slash their parents who are enjoying it. You referred to their home as an apartment, though. It's a giant T.
It's a T apartment.
Giant T. Yeah, it's very good stuff. You know, I like that show quite a bit too. We've been drinking in a lot of the animated movies as we do. We've been vibing at the house to we've talked about Paw Patrol and Rusty Rivets and everything, but now we're digging in on the movies. We're back on The Incredibles, which thrills me because that is to me the best of all the animated.
The best of all of the animated.
In the 21st century, that's the best.
Gravity Falls, another great animated show that you should check out.
Speaking
great
of animated
stuff.
Shows, have you guys seen BoJack Horseman?
Oh, yeah.
No, I hear it's really funny.
Yeah, funny.
A lot of people recommend that to me because it's funny, but also kind of dark and introspective.
Dark, crude.
Which it says a lot about. Everybody says that. They're like, it's very dark and introspective. You would like
thanks.
What I'm watching is I'm not in on this season's Bachelor, For whatever reason, I just missed it, and so that's one of those shows that if you don't get in on it, your life goes by just fine.
Right.
But if you do watch the first few episodes, you do get drawn in, and you can't believe any other human being out there isn't watching it. And also, of course, you guys missed all the other ones. I mean, NBA basketball. I'll tune in, and now it's time to start getting right.
When you say TV, I don't think sports.
March Madness, and then it's time to get back to the defending
Stanley
world champion,
playoffs,
Pittsburgh Penguins, and the rest of the NHL.
See, I thought this was supposed to be a look-alike. They don't really look alike at all. Yeah. I think that's a terrible look-alike.
They also came up when Matt Harmon started talking. I thought it was something to do with
the poor man's version.
Is referring to on our screen. We appreciate you downloading and commenting and rating and sharing with your friends on iTunes, the podcast. But also, reminder, you can consume at NFL.com/DDFP. If you want to watch and see what we look like, too, it is remarkable, the tweets and such that we periodically get that, you know what? For the first time, I took the bait and I looked at it, and I can't believe that that's what you look like, Dave. I always imagined you to be like a 62-year-old really, really fat guy. The way you describe, I'm like, well, that's
Thank you for the compliment.
Very flattering, and people also marvel at the way Handsome Hank looks. By the way,
very
I
handsome.
Should mention,
very
speaking of looking
name.
At something, it does not work in just the audio, so you do have to go and watch it. MVP and company have done gangbusters work with some of the stuff we did at the Super Bowl, specifically on the red carpet. I played Connect Four with many
players
from
it's
the
terrific.
NFL.
It's great
Yeah, it was with
could not have ended better.
Brown, Jameis Winston,
really
Mike Evans, Jarvis Landry. We had
and you Greg see what Olsen. I'm going to do right here, and then
I got you.
All right,
the fact that Landry plays it as cool as he did. It is a master performance. Yeah. He just sits back, takes it in. He lets Dave, spout off, do his thing, and then he's like,
"Hey, did you notice this?
Did you notice that?
How did you not notice that?
I had you move sooner."
Well, you know what?
Did you not notice? Because you're a move too late.
That's
and then he just walks off. It was remarkable.
Let's move along. But I'll say this.
I want to linger on this a little bit.
Listen, we should get a Connect Four out here. We have nothing but time to fill
that's
in the offseason.
Mr. Greatest Connect Four player of all time is now zero and one.
Can I tell you something?
Zero and one.
I only play four recreationally now. You know that. And so I think there's no dignity in what
Zero
you're doing right now and acting
one.
Like that was a competitive four game. It wasn't.
This is something I'm really good at. Oh, yeah, what's your record in terms of public performances? That's 0-1.
Well, then.
Moving on. Hey, so I flew back from Houston, Texas, in my usual spot there in the middle seat.
Which
one?
Some look. Isn't that the guy who's on the NFL? Well, they wouldn't put him.
They wouldn't put him in the middle seat.
At the back of coach there.
Roughly in the picture that's behind us. Where would you say you sat?
Second from the last row.
Back there.
Middle
where
seat.
The coat? That's
I was
your
say,
coat.
There's the coat right there.
I want to show you what made it especially bad for me was this.
Yeah.
I mean, our society is crumbling all around us, and not just because of the administration in office, primarily, yes, but also owed to this
polish.
Sort of behavior.
Yeah. She's got nails.
A woman next to me.
A woman.
Of about, I don't know, 60.
I was going to say, those look like older
really
feet.
Matter. Yeah. Polished up toes, saw fit to flip off her shoes. And put them up right next to my tray. Right there. What kind of society are we going to have,
That's
everybody?
Pretty unbelievable.
What are we doing here?
Why didn't you do, I mean, I,
you
I know that you're a polite man. Why didn't you tap her on the shoulder and say, excuse me, could you get your unwashed feet away from my...
Because then I have to sit next to her for the rest
so
of
what?
It.
So what?
Yeah.
And then it's uncomfortable. There's
that's
weird.
Okay. See, that's what makes it the highlight
thing
of the plane.
About it. Exactly.
I mean, now you know how excited I am about this whole flight home. I want to see how she's going to respond.
Yes.
Get your feet down. What are you thinking?
What are you doing?
See, that's the hardest part.
You wouldn't do it that aggro.
Sure,
but
that's, I would.
No,
that's,
I would tap her on the shoulder and say, excuse me, this belongs
I would
on the
say,
floor.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Like, you can't – it would be very hard because you're so outraged to be like, excuse me, ma'am, could you please just – could you put your foot down? That makes me uncomfortable. You'd have to go really aggressive and be like, listen, come on. You got to be kidding me.
The people who, I mean, way grosser than that is when the guys are on there and they take their socks off. They go onto the plane with shoes and socks. But not only do they remove the shoes, but then they also take off the stinking socks. What kind of behavior? What kind of society is this? It's time to circle the wagons and figure this thing out.
That is not something I let go. No. That is immediately. What are you thinking?
You have a conversation with those
people. What are you thinking?
It makes
those
me want to throw up.
Let's
real quick.
Yeah.
MVP has come up with a few scenarios for us on the airplane as our head writer. She
she's the head writer, is she?
That's right. Did I not? Did you forget about that?
No, I mean it's
handsome. Recently replaced.
Where I think. Well, maybe I'm gonna get back in there.
MVP behind the glass has conjured these scenarios. Let's figure out which is the worst case of them all. Last row, middle seat, or next to a shoeless man. Money, I start with you.
Well, I assume his feet smell, Emma. Is that what you're, yeah.
I would never, I do that thing where I don't physically use my fingers to hold my nose. I do that thing. You know how you can hold your nose
without. Yeah, I'll put the shirt up.
Yeah, I would just do that the whole flip.
Yeah, I would rather be next to the shoeless man because I hate the back row. Yeah.
Really?
And I hate middle seats. Yes,
yeah,
I really
can't
do.
Recline.
I could survive sitting in the front in Economy Plus with a guy who's got no shoes next to me.
Handsome, crying baby adjacent, or aisle seat closest to the lavatory?
That's a tough.
Terrible
I mean,
seat to
that's
be
a
in.
Terrible man. Seat to be in, but
the
I
poop
really.
Seat.
The poop
yeah.
seat. But I do. And but also, you're saying basically.
Caught the poop
we're,
deck.
We're in the back row. Is that's kind of where you are if you're by the poop seat. But that said, I covet the aisle seat because my legs don't go. My legs are going to be in the
not
aisle.
Not tall.
And so
I agree. Fair
I
point.
Will take I'll take the aisle seat.
Really?
And I mean, what, I mean, I don't have any choice because the
but the only next you're let's say you're in the aisle seat and the baby's in the middle and it's crying.
Oh well, I've got and I hate to be a shill, no, but I'm going to be. I've got some Bose
exactly.
Q35 noise canceling wireless headphones.
Don't we all have headphones these days? Right, we all have headphones these days.
Yeah, but
we can drown that out.
That's a loud screech.
No. Isn't that
See?
Funny?
Look, the only look. Yeah, the only non-parent. That's why because you get used to it. It becomes white
See,
noise.
Yeah.
It's so easy
nope,
for me to tune out crying baby.
Not for me. It sets off a trigger that
right.
not only do I. Dislike the noise. It makes me think about my future with children, which is frightening. So that's too much.
Here's
are you one
well.
Of these people who finds it inappropriate for parents to bring their children on planes?
No, I mean,
well, there are plenty of people who feel like
no.
I'll be like, quiet.
"How dare you?
I've
what
heard
are you
people
doing
shout,
with that baby?"
I'm sorry.
It's a baby.
I'm sorry, but I think it's a good idea for the baby to meet his family.
Right. Like you can't put him in luggage. You know, you got to have the baby. I get it. It doesn't mean I have to like it, but I get it.
Quiet that baby
Bless
down.
You, Dad.
You know what? That's a great point. Would you like to come up and reason with him or her? Because
yeah.
if
yeah.
you'd like, just maybe you can lay it
See,
out.
See, I'm definitely not one of those young people that is like, listen, if I had kids, they would never behave that way. Because
what about sitting on a plane next to a crying baby or sitting next to a podcast host while he sneezes and snots all over you, man?
This is pretty detestable. What's
yes,
going on?
Yes, it is.
I'm under the weather.
Enjoy your trip
I'll
there,
take
Sicky.
Crying baby. I'll take crying baby.
But I hope, Harmon, that it also is a good lesson for you. Not unlike Jack Youngblood in Super Bowl 14 going out there on a broken leg. Damashek's out here in 17 playing with a nasty cold, dripping all over the place.
I'm very proud of you.
I can barely see you clearly through the through my misty eyes.
Yeah, it's frightening. To look at you, more than usual, even.
Yeah.
Wait, I got another one coming. Here we go. Here we go. Ready?
Stand back.
Here we go.
This is tremendous.
All right, Harmon. Here we go. First class next to
sneeze.
A vomiting traveler.
You missed one.
Oh, I skipped one?
You skipped one on the list.
So I'm sorry. Well, I'm going to continue this one now. First class next to a vomiting traveler or coach next to a guy who just inhaled a week's worth of Chinese food. Intriguing.
Here's the question.
That's just too much.
So
it's too much to take either. They're both so terrible.
So, but here's
no
how,
win.
Here's how I'll break the tie. Am I on the outside or the inside of the vomiting traveler?
Dude.
See, if
I'm not
the,
giving you that information.
If I'm on the inside, I'll take this option
because
if I'm on the outside, I'm going to have to keep getting up for him or her to let them out. So
can
I'll
tell
take,
you a great
I've
story
had people
that,
use please. The bag next to me. I've had that, I mean.
Someone last year, I was on a plane. We traveling with a few coworkers, and there was a coworker who was on the aisle, and then a father and like a let's say 9-year-old son, and the 9-year-old son was a larger child, and he decided at the airport that he would get hot dogs, burgers, fry the works, going all in,
and he's pounding them in the flight
pounding
during
them on the
flight.
And then the coworker has his laptop on his thing on the table. And,
I like
and
where
his,
this is going.
And his rucksack, which the laptop's come out of, and he hears the words, "Daddy, I don't feel so good." And so the dad is like, "Excuse me, can we get past?" The child vomits into his laptop and, incredibly, into his rucksack. Where, you know, he's traveling just, it's a day flight, so everything he owns is in that rucksack. And can you imagine?
No, I can't.
No.
The answer to that is no, I cannot
imagine. And then, you know, you've still got 2 hours of flight to go, and you're still sitting next to these people with the and it's actually worse because the father is then apologizing profusely for the next 2 hours for the fact that his child has just vomited.
That's when you just
everything you've just watched him in.
You take the screen and you slam it down so the vomit splashes all over the place, and you just throw the computer.
But the airline replaced everything.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's great.
Which is nice. That it's not really their fault. I don't know why the airline would feel like they have.
I don't know if you can hold the 9-year-old responsible.
Right. Well,
financially,
I was on a flight once, and there was a lot of turbulence on the flight back from Houston on Monday. I was once on a flight that was so severe that they warned us as soon as you took off, like, we're hearing of some severe turbulence. We'll let you know when it's coming. And about an hour and a half later, the pilot came on. He said, we're about to hit that turbulence. As soon as his mic went off, ba-boom!
Right.
And the plane started dipping and diving really violently. It was really like people, like all of a sudden you were full on hip checking the person in the seat next to you. People started throwing up all around me, and the stewardesses started throwing up.
Really?
Two stewardesses threw up
on
the plane. I've never seen that.
Box.
That was your...
And it smelled so bad.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, right.
Oh, all that air is just recirculating through the... Yeah, that was your flight. You had some heavy turbulence coming back from Houston. My flight home from Houston. You ready for this? 21 people. Four people in first class.
Oh,
because
you left on Friday night.
Friday night at 10:15. The flight attendant comes up to me and says, listen, I just moved out to Temecula, and I got about an hour and a half drive once we land. So if you don't mind, I'm going to try to take a nap. Whatever you need, feel free to wake me up, and I'll be happy to get – but is there anything I can get for you right now and maybe just load you up? I said, sure. I like to have a glass of bourbon and then some water, you know, for the flight home. And she said, no problem. She comes back with 8 miniature Woodford Reserve bourbons. And instead of taking them, I say, you're going to kill me. I said, how about I'll take 3? You take the 5, hide them. So I have no chance of maybe thumbing through the drawers and securing them. And sure enough, we got in like an hour. I think it was an hour and 5 minutes early because it was such a light flight. Right. We landed at like 11:30. We were supposed to land at 12:35.
What a
beautiful.
Hey, here's the last one. This is poorly constructed on MVP's part.
Well, a better writer would have come up with something.
Well, it's just a faulty premise. Squish between two larger humans or between a feuding teen couple. Well, of course, I want to be between the feuding teens.
Yes. No-brainer.
This is easy.
No-brainer.
That's desirable.
Yeah, no-brainer.
Just hit record on the cell phone.
Yep.
And
let
have,
him go.
Have 3 hours of gold.
What are they arguing over?
My kind of
Snapchat's better than yours.
Oh, no. That's not frustrating. That is gold.
No, it's not. If you got Wi-Fi on the plane, just start live tweeting it.
While I wouldn't tell somebody to put their feet away, I would step in to moderate the flight.
Oh, would it be right?
To counsel them on
She
their
makes
flight.
A really good point. Yeah. She does don't make even a good point.
He not doesn't even... respect you.
Let me tell you, you
he
guarantee
doesn't respect
like,
you.
A fighting teen couple, I mean, more like a lot of couples in general, but a fighting teen couple, one of them is going to say, right? They're going to bring you in, whether
bring
you
in.
Want in or not. Like, they're searching for anything in arm's reach to win that fight. So. I'm
with you.
And I probably would side with the woman and start saying, like, this guy, I don't know if he deserves you. All right. One more thing. We just heard he doesn't respect you. That, of course, came from late August 2016. If you're a fantasy football player, you probably heard about the zero running back strategy. Matt Harmon was one of the primary advocates of it in the world of fantasy football, which is obviously that you eschew drafting running backs and instead focus in the 21st century passing first NFL game, focus on receivers and let everybody else fight for those running backs. And so we wanted to revisit that now real quick. What do you want to do here? Do we want to play the clip first? So Harmon,
roll the tape.
Matt Harmon got into an argument here on the DDFP with the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano.
I was ambushed, let's be clear about that.
Either way, he said stay with the running backs, and you said no, go wide receiver. Let's take a listen back to that.
Aren't you down on Devonta Freeman?
Yeah, and I would draft Antonio Brown before him. No question
right,
about that.
Of course.
I never said wide receivers weren't trending upward. They absolutely are. You'd have to be a jack not to see that.
So why would
you call him a jack?
The bottom line is that running backs are still extremely valuable.
Nobody is arguing that.
Young running backs who could be great this year, including two behind you, and David Johnson and Todd Gurley. And when you talk about a strategy and then don't use it, I'm sorry, but I lose respect. The credibility is gone.
He doesn't respect you.
That's the best. He doesn't respect you.
By the way,
the best.
You know what's also a sad little side note, Handsome? I think you and I are wearing
the same shirt. I know. I'm just thinking.
6 months later.
At least some of us have updated our fashion since that was shot.
All right.
Do you feel like you gained Fabiano's respect over the course of the season?
I feel like I care less about that now as I did then.
Harmon, double down.
You don't respect him as
double down.
It's got nothing to do with respect. It's just, you know, I'm not interested in
people. All right, now weigh in on this then, Harmon. Now the season is in the books, so zero running back strategy. Good or bad?
I think this was a really not great year for it, to be honest with you. I mean, so obviously we've got the performance of three running backs. You know, one of them that we talked about on that show, Todd Gurley, didn't work out. I mean, there's still plenty of, you know, potential. But this was my point then, is that anything can be viable. And I think zero RB can still be viable. If you look at some of the facts, you know, we're all about facts these days here in America, I think. And from this year, you know, Mike Evans led the NFL.
You didn't have to sneak the snarky "I think" in there. I think we're all on to you.
Yes, I did. I have to be very upfront with my snark. But anyways, this year, Mike Evans led the NFL with targets, 173. That was very low considering what we've seen from wide receivers lately. 16 receivers had more than 173 targets from 2009 to 2015. That seems like kind of an outlier number. If you look at T.Y. Hilton, led the NFL in receiving yards with 1,448. We saw from 2009 to 2015, again, 19 wide receivers in total post more than that. I think that this year was a very low year for high-end wide receiver production, kind of an outlier. I wrote a piece about this, actually, again, on NFL.com/Harmon. You can check that out, like reviewing zero RB this year. Use a lot of graphs to show that this was a big down spike in the upward trend of wide receiver production, while passing production in the NFL as a whole was still right in line with what we've seen. So I think this is still a passing league. You can go early running back, you can go zero RB, you know, and I think that there's a lot of ways to get to the mountaintop.
Look, my biggest fan, MVP, just delivered a hard copy.
Look at
talk about mimicking the administration.
In case you haven't read it, Harmon, there
why
it is.
Why don't you read it to Emma?
This is very much like what Sean Spicer might do. See, it exists. I got paper. How can you argue with that?
I don't know if I can read all, you know,
read it to Emma. She'd really like
3,000 of the words here. But no, I mean, I think, again, you know,
So what are you saying for 2017? So people can start to get their minds right as they drift off into the offseason.
I think that what, again, we should be open to, that strategies are not meant to be foolproof. Like, you do this, you're definitely going to win. You have to go running back early. You have to go wide receiver early. I think that what zero RB is an option in your draft. So if you don't like some of the wide receiver running back values when you're picking, you know, say you're picking number four and all three of these guys are gone, you take a wide receiver.
Meaning
early.
David Johnson, right. Le'Veon Bell, correct. Zeke Elliott.
Sorry for the listener audience. Right. But, you know, you take one of the wide receivers then, even in the second round, third round, you still go wide receivers. And then that prepares you for what you need to do later in your draft. You try to find those values, like guys this year that you got great running back production late in your draft, like Melvin Gordon, LeGarrette Blount, Spencer Ware, these guys that you could get later on that still gave you similar production.
I have one very specific one for you. Who's your number one receiver next year?
It's still Brown to me.
Okay, so Odell Beckham is presumably two for you, or maybe Julio?
Yeah, I think those three are stacked.
Who do you want, Odell Beckham or Jordan Howard? You have the fourth pick.
Oh, definitely Odell Beckham.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so that's that. We'll dig in more on the zero running back strategy, presumably, as the offseason progresses. But right now, let's start the show. I always like when people get tripped up by me saying start the show about, what are we, about 30 in?
40 minutes in?
50.
28 minutes in. That's not a record.
You were supposed to start 50 minutes ago. Yeah, operate on. Yeah. Punctual man.
You know what?
I mean, you weren't.
We're
here
right
for
where we're
ago.
Supposed to be right
I
now.
For him.
Welcome to the DBFP again, presented by the iconic Big Mac at McDonald's. Limited time, three juicy, cheesy sizes. Mac Jr., Big Mac, Grand Mac. Go get you one. You know what? Go get you all.
How about
three.
All three? You know what? I could do. Right now, if you presented me with one of each, I would eat them all.
Which would you?
In
start
which
with?
Order?
Yeah,
yeah, right.
That's the key.
I would open her up with
the Mac Jr.
Could you stack them inside each other like those little Russian dolls?
Grand Mac, and then finish with a Big Mac.
No. That's the wrong way to do it.
How do you know what the right
right way to
because
do
if you want like to, if the goal is to consume
say,
all three,
it's the same thing.
If your goal, no, but if the goal is to consume all three, no. You have to psychologically trick yourself, get rid of the biggest option first. No.
See, you sound like Fabiano with only one way right, to the mountaintop. Exactly. I mean, listen, you can go different.
I'm
going to
open
approaches.
It up with the Mac Jr.
You know about your advanced statistics. I know about eating food. All right.
Okay.
That's true.
You're actually
you
all
look
wrong.
Like an
You're all wrong.
Really?
Yeah. If you're going to consume all three, the appropriate way is to gauge the value of the Mac Jr. and the Grand Mac versus the Big Mac. So you do not consume one entirely and then move on to the next.
You got to
say, hey, the Big Mac is the most iconic hamburger in the history of the world.
I like that you're honoring the sandwich when
yeah.
you eat it.
I am going to try.
You have to respect your
I'm going to take a bite or two of this Mac Jr. and then I'm going to remind myself of how delicious the Big Mac itself is.
Right.
And then I'm going to go to the Grand Mac, and I'm going to see if, in
fact, actually
more can they
delicious?
Really improve on the finest sandwich in the history of quick serve? Can they? Because I'll be damned if I believe they can.
You know, I'm so glad that next week I'm happy to promote this fact that next week you can be on the lookout for one of our all-time favorite guests, Jonah Carey. He is a Renaissance man, not unlike yourself, Matt Money Smith, and he can talk on any number of issues.
Cut me to ribbons.
And we will have to discuss this, and we will also have to get his opinion on whether or not a hamburger is a sandwich or not. Oh, there he is. Well, he's not on the phone. He's going to be in Studio 66.
Oh,
all right.
Exciting.
Now I'm in the mood to hear some music. Let's say hello to him. He's one half of the finest radio show in all the land, Petros and Money. On if you're in Los Angeles, tune it in. AM 570 is how you do that, or go to iHeartRadio, and you can download it at your pleasure. It's Matt Money Smith.
Got bad eyesight, he's a Chicago guy, and he hosts the NFL Fantasy Live. Matt Money! Skateboarded as a kid. Matt Money! He's on with Damashek. Matt Money! He's Matt Money Smith.
Hello, Money.
Hello!
How are we?
I'm well.
Y'all settled
back
in after our time in Houston?
A little bit, you know, a little bit. Still running around.
How did you watch the Super Bowl?
Watched it at my friend, I call him the doctor, a friend of mine who is a fancy orthopedic surgeon here in town, and he's got a fancy house on the beach, and he had a bunch of us over. I made wings.
Wow.
Very proud to say. And
why
I
can't
guess,
you make us wings?
Self-report here. I went to buy the wings at the supermarket, and so I have the wings in my hand, and I say, hey, you know, I'd like to buy some of those drumettes too. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're like, yeah, they're right there. I was like, well, no, I have the wings, but I'd like to buy the drums. Like, yeah, you're holding them. I was like, no, I don't think you understand. I know I have the wing part.
Two bones or one bone?
And they're like,
that's what she said.
They're like, yeah. So you stretch the wing out, you cut the tip, and then the next joint that you cut,
that's
one half is
said,
the
right?
The drumette, the other half is the two bone. I said, okay. See you at the register. Okay.
Wait, they expected you to do the surgery?
Yes.
Ugh. Yeah. I can't. I'll tell you.
It was pretty fun.
I went through about like a 4-year stretch where I decided to be able to cook food decently for myself, and I really did master to pat myself on the back. You know, I like to list my life resume, and one of the things at one point, I could make a delicious, spicy arrabbiata. I could really make, and I got really good at making soups.
Okay.
But really where I got away from making my own food was the first strike, the first blow was having to cut chicken. Chicken raw is the grossest.
The juice is pretty
much. All of it's gross. Yeah. That pinkish quality, sure. Separating the tendon. Blah, thinking about it makes me want to throw
Not that
up.
Bad. You get a nice sharp knife. When you pop through, you got to find that little soft mm-hmm. spot. Exactly. It's quite
did
rewarding.
Did you drift away from the screen? By halftime, or did you stay focused?
No, I was pretty into it.
Really?
It just had that feeling. You
even
know?
At 28-3?
Even at 20, I was like, boy, this is a bit of a bummer. And the kids did. The kids went outside, and they were playing, and the ladies, and I know this is horribly sexist to say, right? But they kind of retreated in their own little circle. But the dads,
wings.
We were there on the couch, just kind of pounding through the Frank's Red Hot Cheese Dip and the wings. And
that has more to do with the fact that you were so drunk that you could barely walk. But anywho, all right, let's get
drunk.
To –
I was a little bit drunk. You're right.
Next, let's say hello to our favorite Englishman. He's our resident Miami Dolphins fan. He's a founding member of our culinary tour across these United States. We had some fine meals in Houston, Texas. Mm-hmm. Once again, here he is. It's Handsome Hank.
Handsome Hank. handsome A, he's handsome A, he's handsome A.
Hello, handsome. How are you?
I'm very well indeed.
I hope you would. I hope you appreciate the fact that I didn't get into Jarvis Landry, because out of respect for you as a Dolphins fan, I didn't want to rub it in 14's face. Like, oh, fine. So you beat me at Connect Four. The Steelers beat you in January. Even Steven.
I mean, I would.
But I thought that would
imagine
been
he may not rejoin you in the future if you'd done that.
Ah, he's one of he's the 2015 Shecky Award winner for our favorite football playing guest. I have.
I like the fact that as well you were tossing him the Connect Four counters. Yeah. As well, and he was
counters.
I don't. Well, I was trying to think what the name is.
Chips,
chips, tablets,
checkers,
pills,
chips,
checker pieces.
Right.
Now he's Australian.
Plastic discs.
Hey, this is great. I'm sad to report, as we mentioned, Matt Harmon. We'll get to all you're going to be doing in the offseason, but I am positively devastated to report Matt Harmon. This is he's not going to be shadowing our door here in 66 or the NFL media campus for some time. He's taken a few months off, but you'll be back in time for you'll be back in time for 2017 kickoff. In the meantime,
by the way, I can't. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You just did it.
What?
You said it. You know, this is it. So now I've got Huey Lewis in the news. If this is it in my head, and then you say back in time, and now I've got Huey Lewis back in time. I mean, it was a double dose of Huey right there, and I didn't know if you did it intentionally or not. But man, it just, you want to talk about a soundtrack that's playing in my brain now.
Worst Huey Lewis song?
There are none.
Wow.
What are you, Jimmy Kimmel?
I love Huey. Love Huey Lewis.
There's a wrong answer.
No,
there is a right answer. I want a new drug.
It's fantastic. One that
song.
Don't make one that the one that
one
doesn't
that don't make
you
sick.
One that won't make me crash my car. Come on.
All right, let's give him.
You've
a
got
party.
Children. You just flip that on, and that's it. Dad, work's done.
Oh no. My kids are
they're gonna be druggies. No. I'm pushing drugs
hip.
On my children.
No, any song I put on is like, that sounds old. Daddy, that sounds like old music. Put on, and they want to hear Bruno Mars. That's what they're into these days. So anywho, a weird farewell gift for you is we play intros, of course, for everybody. I guess the next time you'll hear this after now is the next time you come back in what, 4 or 5 months from now. Here it is, the debut Matt Harmon's intro song.
Great time.
Take it away, Dick Banks.
A hipster with a dog. Backyard banter is his blog. A fan of nature and stuff. Can't miss his facial scruff. CBS sitcom nerd. This writer has a way with words. He's Harmon, comma, Matt. Hey, fella, what's on tap?
Oh, my God.
That's beautiful.
New winner.
That's beautiful.
Wow, that's a new duo. Emma VP and Sydney Carlson teaming up on that one.
Wait,
what do you mean? What do you mean?
Performed by Sydney Carlson from the producer of ATN, and I wrote it.
How about that?
That's awesome.
Well done.
Well, let me just say, that was very touching. That was wonderful. The music was wonderful.
You're weirdly choked up by this.
It was very – I like good
– Well done.
I'm sorry. I like good art, especially when it has to do with me. Also, it was great that they promoted my Instagram page because I'm trying to get more followers.
I got you.
You got it.
That's all.
Yeah. Let's play that back.
You guys know what to do. I like
beautiful.
This.
Decidedly indie friendly.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
It sounds exactly like something I'd actually listen to.
That's right. That's right. Bunny will get his revision, too. He wants it more hardcore.
I do not. You keep saying that.
I want it more hardcore.
I'm fine with it. I like it. I love my
Harmon,
theme song.
Promote right now before time gets away from us. What are you going to be doing in the offseason?
So, one, the reception perception related one, I can't officially announce yet because Penn has not hit digital paper on the contract. But I can promote that I will be again doing my Backyard Banter podcast, where I interview people in the industry in our little world and tell their stories about how they got there. I hope to have all three of you gentlemen on the show at some point.
Call my agent.
Oh, all right, jeez. And I'll be doing that show. Also, I can announce this. I haven't told this publicly yet,
There we go.
Franchise and I will be launching our own Fantasy Hipsters podcast during the offseason.
I love it. The Fantasy Hipsters, Matt Franciscovich, Matt Harmon.
We probably won't talk about fantasy football at all, but we will talk about NFL news and also, you know, beers,
you know,
music,
what I think about
et
cetera. When I hear that news, you know what I think about? Poor Gellhaar.
Hey.
Yeah, why do you have to leave that guy out?
He can come on the show every now and again.
It's not the same. Just not the same. Poor Gellhaar.
Listen.
You can. I'm going to sign off on you using that intro, of course. for yourself that we just heard there from MVP.
Well, actually, that is a good one, but that's just about me. You know, it has to be about the unit, and
maybe it could be about Gellhardt. Too, huh?
I don't think so. Right. We actually already we're in talks with somebody to get our own intro music.
Oh, well. He's look at that. He's eschewing.
I don't want to use that one. That one's just about me, and you know, it's got to be about franchise too. He'd feel left out.
Yeah. Well, you've been a great.
If he'd feel left out, how about Gellhardt?
Exactly,
how do you think he feels?
Not Gellhardt.
Listen, take it up with Dad here. He's the one who brought us together. He decides this.
I didn't know that. That you were just going to leave him in the dust like Sheck did. It's one thing for Sheck to leave him in the dust, but man, honestly.
I wanted him to come in to say goodbye today, and Bartlett behind the glass emailed him at a non-existent email address.
Now we're talking. You're talking about franchise. He's
talking about
Gellhardt.
I'm just saying.
Oh, about Gellhardt.
Poor Gellhardt just left in the dust.
No, I want Gellhardt. I want Gellhardt in here as much as we can get him in here.
Yeah.
Look for him in the next week or two on the DDFP. Challenge accepted. Ugh, sorry, as I drip. I'm dripping. I'm
Claritin, man. I'm telling you. Get the Claritin D.
What's done is it's too late. Look at Hanson.
Oh, I feel sick. Get me out of
here.
Oh,
I feel sick.
Please, it's disgusting.
Pretty
hard.
If I got an emergency one here, I can flip your way.
If the camera was trained on Dave, let's see if we can get that in slow motion.
I hope it is.
Can we definitely cut that? I can GIF that.
Who needs a pick when you can go
through? Before we move on to the triplets, because that's an unseemly
triplets
transition.
Or triplets.
The triplets.
Let's instead do a little segment that we will start today.
Okay.
And we will do it for each of the 32 teams. I kind of tend to lean, I guess, more negative in my worldview, I guess, is what you would say.
I wouldn't say that about you at all.
No.
No?
You?
No, I wouldn't say that about
you. I feel like my glass is half empty about a lot of things.
It depends on the issue.
I appreciate that. Well,
I don't think that's you.
I think you have yeah, you go back and forth. Money probably has, I would say, more glass half full.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say I am as well.
Harmon wants to be a glass half empty guy because he thinks it gives him gravitas, right. But I don't think so. You don't need to be that.
I'm a complicated person.
Right, I know. But
I love it when people
self-diagnosed
say
complicated person.
When people say that they're complicated, it means they're not complicated.
I say this as people who have said it to me.
I don't sleep well at night because I got too much on my brain.
Yeah.
People like that, they're
got a notepad on my nightstand. I write my ideas down.
All right, Mr.
Why did I put that accent on?
I don't know why you had Elliot Harrison's voice in there.
Our new series begins here and now with the Super Bowl 51 runner-up Atlanta Falcons. Let's talk about why they should feel like their glass is half full, and then we'll talk about why they should feel like it's half empty as we move towards the abyss of in between 2016 and 2017 NFL seasons. Harmon, I start with you.
So we're going half full.
Half
first.
Full. What do you feel good about with this team?
What I feel.
Oh,
good
I thought
about.
We had to call half full or half empty.
No.
Okay,
we're going to
I got you.
We're going to try to play it both ways,
so that we're really not taking a stand.
Right.
Just,
you know,
right.
That's what the people want.
Maybe at the end we could say which one do you believe more.
I like that. Okay,
that would be a thing.
So for half,
that's why we do it live on the show. We don't plan these things.
I just I like conflict.
No planning.
I liked argument. I like someone going half empty, somebody going half full. Let's go.
All right. Maybe that's
verbal sparring.
Maybe that's what it'll.
Let's throw some red challenge.
I like that idea. Somebody should always have to
right to the neck.
Somebody should. I like that idea. Maybe somebody always represents the half empty and the other the half full.
Ooh.
All right, go ahead, Harmon. You start us off.
Yeah, so Mr. Complicated. Now you got
to
go half empty.
Give us a half full.
Let's
here?
Go.
Okay, so if you want me to go half full first.
I'm Smiley O'Connor over
what
here.
Think,
you're half empty. Come on, Complicated.
What I think we have to like about the Falcons is obviously they have a lot of talent on offense, but I think their defense played really well in the Super Bowl. They've also got a lot of young, talented pieces. I mean, I don't think that Grady Jarrett got the due that he was having when he was having a great season, but then had a big Super Bowl. Now I think everybody knows who he is. Mm-hmm. Vic Beasley is a good young player. He could even become more consistent. They'll get star cornerback Desmond Trufant back next year. It's a young, fast, athletic defense. If they start to catch up to the offense, I think they can feel half full.
I think that's what it's all about, as a matter of fact, looking ahead, is the speed. In fact, it won the first 43 minutes of the Super Bowl against the juggernaut Patriots, and then Tom Brady erased all that. But yeah, you could feel awfully good about the way that defense was constructed. Watching they just had no answer early on, at least for that speed. It kills, as they say, Harmon.
Speed kills.
I've heard.
All right,
before.
Money. You want to give us the half empty then?
Oh boy.
Well, what do you want? You want to go half full?
I mean, I think it's three quarters full. I mean, to me, like, I think it's so lopsided in their favor because I look at the Saints, the Buccaneers, and the Panthers, and I just feel like the Falcons are better.
Really?
Absolutely. I think going into the season, and look, that's a young defense. You got to remember, Dan Quinn inherited the worst defense in the NFL. I mean, that's what that guy signed up, and he was brought in to fix it. He certainly fixed it all the way to the Super Bowl. They got better as the season closed. Like you said, you can't argue with the offense. So we know the Saints defense is flawed. I don't know about Dirk Cutter and the Bucs yet. I want to like him. I think Jameis is getting better, but at the same time, I don't know. And the Panthers regress so badly.
Well, you can be dismissive like that, but I think the Bucs are certainly coming on now.
They're not good enough to believe. Like, they weren't consistent enough for us to say, okay, they're taking steps in the right direction.
It could be this is what.
Oh, I saw that very.
It could be this. This could be where bad turnovers, not really a dominant run game. So I just feel like the Falcons are such the class of that division that I am totally comfortable saying they're going to win NFC South.
If it is related to the foes that they have in the South, I disagree with you completely. I think the Panthers bounced back big in 2017.
I think both of those, both the Panthers and Bucks have some guys.
And I think the Saints defense.
I would lean Saints over either of those two if it was anyone that was going to do it.
All right, we'll talk about those other teams at a later date. Handsome, what are you? Full or empty?
Well, I'll play empty just because I think that the Falcons are going to continue to be a good team. But let's talk about the division first of all. The division is notorious for teams swinging back and forth in terms of where they wind up. The best team will be the worst team the next year. The worst team will be the best team.
So Panthers won it 3 years in a row. Right. But anywho,
it's happened
before it was
worst to first, right, pretty much year after year. I think the overall thing is that was a pretty stunning loss, and how easy is it to bounce back from that? I think you saw it a little bit with the Panthers this year as well. Like, just you talk about Super Bowl hangovers. It's a young team. Is that something that really knocks their confidence?
Well, I'll tell you a few things. First of all,
thank you.
One thing that over the last half decade, or maybe even a little bit more, the spot you don't want to be in. There's no science to this, but it's hard to argue against. You don't want to be the Super Bowl runner-up. Being the Super Bowl runner-up, the football gods
typically
do not
doesn't
favor.
Bode well.
No. Yeah, the football gods do not smile on you in the following season.
Can I also say, from a glass half empty approach, we all were like, yo, we know about the offense, but to be fair, they scored 540 points this year. That was 71 more points than the second place team. There's a lot of room for a drop off.
That's exactly
right.
They
lost their offensive coordinator.
That's right.
A couple
again.
Of other offensive coaches. Yep. Right. This year was everything breaks right. Julio missed a couple games, but for the most part, they got.
He missed a couple games, and he didn't play well in a few games as well. Yeah, and Taylor Gabriel and Mohamed Sanu filled in there.
They just didn't need to rely on him they have.
This goes back.
They have more injuries
next
year.
How have teams, when Kyle Shanahan's lost, how have their quarterbacks fared?
That's a great question. To that, the example I was going to give was Hugh Jackson departing the Bengals,
right,
and you saw a little slide there from Andy Dalton. I think Matt Ryan is better than Andy Dalton, but I don't think Matt Ryan is as good as Tom Brady or the guys who you would hold up in spite of the MVP. Sure. I don't think perennially you say Matt Ryan is a top five NFL QB.
Including Matt Ryan, they got career years out of a ton of players.
This goes back to worldview and ultimately being a half-empty person. Matt Ryan is a great asset. He's a virtue to have under center for you. But on the other hand, is he going to replicate this MVP season? No.
So if he
regresses at all, then that thing that you hold up as a positive for them is probably actually going to be.
Do you think they're the best team in the division?
No,
you don't. Who do you think's better?
The Carolina Panthers.
I don't know, man.
I mean, come on. They're going to add
to the secondary. The defense will be fine.
We don't know that, though.
I just look at it as it stands now.
As it stands now, because, look, that you could just say, well, the Falcons are going to add. They'll add another piece, and the Bucs will add another. You know what I mean?
Rush the passer. They don't have, I mean, Kawan Schertz, a free agent. I think they bring him back. They probably lose Mario Addison, who is their best pass rusher. I think they need a lot of help on the defensive side, at least on the front line. Maybe not so much. They have young players in secondary. The offense, they need a real running game. They've talked about it.
Number one receivers
that can separate.
Leonard Fournette's going to be sitting there if they want to get him. Dalvin Cook is going to be sitting there if they want to get him.
But then they take a running back eighth overall, and then you're still chasing receiver, you're still chasing defensive line help.
O-line.
It's a real flawed team.
Okay, Perhaps you're right, but I also still, in a draft of NFC South QBs, I still go Cam Newton.
No, I'm just saying in a draft of teams.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, if you had the first pick, I would,
All right, there it is, a Rocky debut of half full, half empty.
You think it was Rocky?
I thought it went quite well.
It was
perfectly
fine.
Engaged.
So wait, have we decided, is it half full or half
empty? Oh, so let's take a vote.
Should we weigh in on it?
Should we feel like the and the measure is, I suppose, replicating record? Is that the way to do it? How close are they going to be? Did they finish? 11-5?
They were 11-5.
So 11-5.
How about better or worse than their division?
Okay.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Because record is, you could still win
the division.
Record
is nebulous.
I'll start with you.
I'll say half full.
They're going to win the division again without Kyle Shanahan.
I'd say half full.
Half full. Okay. I go half empty, obviously.
I'm going to go half empty, too.
All right, there you have it. Put it in
Split.
The books.
Well,
31 teams to
that
go.
That settles it.
And before we round out DDFP, we revisit the ongoing subject of triplets presented by McDonald's. Super Bowl triplets in this case, presented by McDonald's. Whose triplets would you rather have now, knowing what you know, what you saw in 51? Would you rather have it going into 2017, Matt Ryan, Devontae Freeman, Julio Jones, or Brady? Here's a look at how they performed in that Super Bowl. Brady, 43 out of 62 attempts there. The real thing, though, is to look at what he did from the midway through the third quarter on. He was just about perfect there. Completed almost 80% of his balls in the Super Bowl with all the pressure up against him, and he came through. I just love it. I love nails is what I love. James White, terrific. Is he now the feature back? I don't think you could say that week to week. That's what Belichick likes to do, is flip those guys around. Amendola, I guess, is the top performer among the triplets in that game, but I think you would still say Julian Edelman. Unless Malcolm Mitchell. Matt Harmon, you've been talking about it since August.
Patriots' best receiver, Malcolm Mitchell.
Is he their best in 2017?
I believe he will be.
Better than Gronk?
Well, that's a different kind. I mean, from wide receiver.
That's why, you know.
Designated as the.
I don't believe that those are their choices.
Yeah, that's.
But
the,
no, it's well, just Super Bowl. Not, but that, see, that's more compelling. Because if you had Brady, let's say Mitchell and Gronk, of course you'd take them. But
Brady,
now it's.
Blunt and Gronk.
Would you rather have Brady and those two, but you get Brady or the most dominant wide receiver going in mismatch in Julio Jones and an exciting three down back in Devontae Freeman, but you got to take Matt Ryan. That's what makes that question compelling, because I would take Brady just because it's Brady. Give it to me.
Even at 40?
You can have Julio and you can have Devontae. I know they're better than those other two, but just because I have Tom Brady on my team, I'm going Brady.
All right. Well, listen, let's wrap it up there, and we'll kibitz with you next week. But Matt Harmon, you've been a great addition to the show. You have made DDFP far better than it should be. Handsome Hank has been
just
terrific.
Just kind of kept it.
Yeah, yeah. I
mean, static.
Imagine if you didn't show up, then it would just be me and Handsome talking. Then what? You
know? Yikes.
That's not good for anybody. Sorry for being sick, too, on your final show.
I just ruin everything.
Getting a little choked up.
Now as well.
And then the X Factor, Matt Money Smith.
Yeah. Ruins everything.
He's one of those guys.
Craps all over segments.
Some days it can go horribly wrong.
Demands attention.
This is a great way to send them off, actually. Yeah. It's wistful. You know, it's a good way to send them off.
There's no need to get too choked up. I'll be back.
All right.
Can't get rid of me that easy.
Off he goes into the sunset. Plug your Instagram.
Oh, MattHarmon_BYB. Same as a Twitter handle.
There you go. Great work, Bartlett, MVP, Lara, Spaghetti, everybody behind the glass. Will Kibitz with you next week. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans and Matt Harmon fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.
Small crowd.